Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Podcast.
Alan's not dead.
Four people on the podcast.
You don't know that for sure.
The 16:9 format was clapping. Built
on the surface.
I want to show you guys.
Please clap.
Show you guys.
Please clap.
I'm gonna show you guys. It's not a life hack, but it's a life pro tip. I'm gonna show you how to make the best energy drink ever. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, you know what Bang is? This stuff's actually god awful. This is a crime against humanity. I don't know how this stuff is legal.
Blue
it takes
rats.
Me about 4 days to drink one of these cans.
Are we getting any money from them for this?
No. Like, well, rats? I just shit talked it. I said like this stuff is actually.
I have an energy drink too.
What is yours?
Called Guru.
I have a soda from Fat Sal's, home of the fat sandwiches.
So you take a Bang, you pour a quarter of it into a cup.
You're already losing all the fizz. I'm offended already.
That's fine. It doesn't matter. Then
what you do is
you take soda water
and you dilute
and you fill the rest of it up with soda water. Right? So you're diluting it slowly. I should get it close to the mic so you can get the sounds. Oh, it's like a Coke commercial.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. And then what you do, there's one last step.
Is you throw it in the garbage.
No, there's a secret ingredient. This is the secret ingredient. This looks bad.
What are you doing down there, Will?
You put a Yakult into it.
Oh, Yakult. Come on. No.
Oh, shit.
No. It's overflowing. I hope your keyboard wasn't nice.
All right. Can you guys do the beginning of the podcast without me? I got to change my pants.
Welcome to Safety Third.
I need help.
Alan, you don't get to introduce.
I need you.
All right. Sorry, Nigel. Go for it, Nigel.
I've never had it overflow like that
Everyone's
before.
Everyone's forgotten who you are,
and
Alan.
I can't believe that. God, now there's more stains on my chair. This is so embarrassing.
No, you have to do the intro, Will.
No, don't put it on my mouse pad.
Well,
you're going to get...
At the
bottom of it. You know what? It feels like what's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Batman, the Mr. Freeze guy? It feels like Mr. Freeze peed my pants.
Ice to meet you. Am I right?
I'll go get my own pants. I can't change my camera. Okay, you guys, take it away, guys.
Yep. On this week, we're going to be talking about YouTube.
Do you know how many stains are on this chair?
Why are you sitting in them?
How many of them are drink related and how many of them are...
They're questionable.
Other things.
they're questionable. The colors are questionable.
It's Will's special Yakult. It's this.
Oh, no.
Honestly, though, I've taken a Yakult before and then just added like a shot of whiskey to it, and you absolutely cannot taste the whiskey. It's actually kind of like a magic elixir for mixed drinks.
What is that stuff?
It's like a fermented milk. It's almost like a yogurt drink.
It's like a probiotic, probiotic yogurt drink. It's really good.
I like it.
If you have,
I've had it before. I just never
time.
Knew exactly what it was.
Someone gave you a little bottle of white stuff, and you just downed it without ever asking.
It doesn't taste like it. It's totally fine.
Great. I really like it. It's
channeled my inner Alan Pan for that one when they
it. Don't question. Just put it in your mouth and swallow it.
Wasn't that cool? Do you like my life pro tip? Oh, I can feel it coming from the seat up into my butt. Damn it.
Yeah. So, like, do you have to do every single one of those steps for it to work, or can you skip the one where you spill it all over your
Well, no, you have to spill it all over.
Wait, you want to know what the real pro hack is? It's not energy efficient.
Okay.
It's not
efficient at anything. It's this thing.
Wow, what's that?
It's a little drink.
It's 100% something Nigel would buy.
It's so that if you're sitting there with your drink, you leave it in there.
No.
And it stays
you can heat it up.
Yeah. No, it stays freezing cold for hours.
Wait, you have like a tiny little refrigerator, but for a single can of energy drink?
It just fits one of those in there. He just sits in his chair.
Do you have to plug it in, or is it like something you freeze first?
No, you plug it in. It's a little Peltier
cooler.
It works well. It's like you just took it out of the fridge, except for the entirety of the drink.
But isn't your fridge like 20 feet behind you? I can see it from where you're sitting.
Yeah,
like, the kitchen is right behind you.
Yeah, but if you the classic thing, like if you any
you didn't
shrink,
have to do them like that, Alan.
No, but
like,
that doesn't,
I'm pretty like I
but
can,
Alan,
I,
it doesn't
I mean,
fix the problem at all.
It's
right,
not
I
like a straight shot,
there.
But it's like the right,
yeah, it's
behind.
Right
I know exactly.
Nigel,
behind
scoot a little to your
door.
Left. Scoot a little to your left.
There's a refrigerator.
Scoot a little to your left. Nigel, scoot a little to your left.
Why?
Yeah, because that's gonna hide it. I'm trying to hide the fridge.
Oh,
scooch like, a little bit more. I can still see it.
No, that's the fridge. It's gone. That's
you know,
the fridge, the silver thing.
Like you need to have refrigerators every 10 feet from here all the way to like your mezzanine and your lab, so that you can always have a drink.
No, but right, and you just cold. Put it right back in the fridge, so every time you walk up and down the hallway, you have a fresh cold drink.
I don't understand. Like, so having the if you had to put your drink back in the fridge every time you sipped it, that'd be a miserable experience.
Miserable, absolutely miserable.
And you had to get up, go to the fridge, put it away, come back, sit down. You want to get a sip, you leave and get it? Why would you even
Nigel,
do that?
Are you wearing adult diapers right now, or do you get up and go to the bathroom?
No, I have a specially designed chair.
Yeah, imagine
Alan.
If Kevin was wearing an adult diaper when he just got up. How amazing of that would have been.
Kevin's just like, but then why would Kevin need to get up? See, that's
what
the
a
real
what
question.
A miserable experience having to get up.
No, so it's like, I mean, the classic thing is if you get any drink out of the fridge within like what 15 minutes, if you don't drink it, it's or 20.
Drink
it's
undrinkable.
It's like room temperature.
Undrinkable.
I didn't say it was undrinkable.
I definitely
I'm saying it's undrinkable.
I don't let my drinks okay. sit that long. They don't last that long around me.
Energy drinks, I can't drink super quickly or else you just kind of like explode.
That's why I do. Actually, I don't really want to show it again.
You had to do the whole thing again.
I don't want to show it again.
No, please. I forgot. I forgot
oh,
the no. process.
Oh,
do
what's,
you
what
not
do you got
have
there,
100
Kevin?
Of these somewhere, Nigel?
Oh, the koozies?
Yeah.
What do you call those? Beer koozie? I call them beer koozie, I think.
Koozie, I think.
Yeah. It doesn't keep it as cold. I like drinks when they're really cold.
I think
if it warms
you know
up
what?
Like by the if you're using one of these this and it is, warms up by the time you're done, it's going to be flat already.
This is not a hill I want to die on.
No, so I think the big thing with me is
something.
I think that for whatever reason, like when something's basically as close to frozen as possible, I feel like it tastes the best. And the moment it gets like I don't even know a few degrees above that, I just don't like it anymore.
You can start to taste it
more. You can't taste it.
I think that's why. So like energy drinks, I like when they're like basically almost frozen. But same with sodas. I like when it's like really on the verge of being frozen.
Yeah, it tracks.
So even like when I go to the store and I buy a drink, I will literally wait until like I'm as close to the cash as possible, so it doesn't cool down while I'm waiting.
I think I don't particularly enjoy the taste of energy drinks, and so I
do.
It's like a utility. Like I drink it to get the job done.
Yeah.
So I don't. I guess
what
I don't
is
really
the
care.
Job?
To make
to
me
stay
more...
alive.
Yeah,
to make the shakes go away. He just has to feel normal.
To make you.
So I don't know, because I agree. I do like cold drinks, but I think my bar is much lower for putting effort into keeping it cold. But
well, I mean, it's not much effort. I mean, it's a good. I bought it.
I
like
do
2 years.
Well,
ago.
You got to go buy a thing, and then the planet dies because you know it's.
Well, that's not effort on your part.
That's not my problem. I'll be dead long before the planet dies.
You're right, actually.
If I refrigerate my drinks, I'll drink them too fast. It's too accessible.
I'll just drink
it warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've drinking open Red Bulls that I've left in my car before. Like, have you ever left like a Red Bull in your car and like heats up and then your entire car smells like Red Bull?
Video.
Yeah,
I've done
okay.
That once.
I want to go through. We need to go. Alan needs to hear these.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the comments at all for that video.
These actually, I think, are some of my favorite comments I've ever seen.
For what? Which one?
Dog food versus human food.
Oh yeah.
Was Alan a starving animal at some point?
Yeah, I saw that.
This guy will eat whatever he has access to: dumpster eggs, car nugget, dog food, all gourmet to this Giga Chat.
I saw that and I was like, you know what? I agree.
The question isn't if Alan would eat something. The question is how to stop him.
I wish I could
Alan
disagree
found
with
out
these.
He can save 15% or more on his grocery bill by switching to dog food.
I wish I had a disagreement here. I wish I could say like, no, that's not true. But I mean, yeah, pretty much.
I love how this went from a methodical experiment, genuinely comparing dog food and human food, to everyone just trying to trick everyone else, except for Alan. He was just there to eat. The real question is, where on the scale from Alan's dumpster food to Will's desiccated chicken nugget does dog food sit?
I would rather eat the chicken nugget again, for sure.
Than
compared
the
to the dog food? Yeah, I would eat the, because the dried chicken nugget almost tastes like a regular chicken nugget.
Chicken nugget tastes like dirt. What are you talking about?
When you have the two side by side for comparison, it wasn't that different versus the dog food, which like, just like the grittiness of just all the bones that are like that they left
and
in
the
there
liver.
Just is like real, yeah, the weird richness is really unpleasant, actually.
Not a great.
Yeah, but like, I mean, not impossible to eat. I definitely ate a lot of dog food that day.
Anyway, sorry for interrupting you. Continue your story about drinking a Red Bull that had been sitting in your car for a week.
Yeah, so when you leave a Red Bull open in your car and it like gets hot, your entire car ends up smelling, you know, that Red Bull smell, that flavor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like so distinctive, and it like, I really like it when it's cold, but then when it's hot, it's like acrid. It is
burns.
Acidy in your nose. So I guess what I'm saying is I still drank it.
Long story short.
Yeah, long story short, I drank it.
I was thirsty.
I mean,
why, Alan? Guys,
well, do you ever do that thing where you go in the living room and like with a cup of water that you've just gotten in the kitchen, and then you see like there's like two or three other like half filled glasses of water,
oh, and you're like,
oh no.
I don't have that problem because I just use a water bottle. But when we lived at our studio that burned down, I would just use the same cup because it was small enough that like you couldn't really hide cups anywhere. So it was just a cup on my desk, and it starts getting like, I would never, you know, it was like the generation soup. What do they call that?
Oh yeah, like the 100-year-old like pots of soup.
Yeah,
where it's like continuous.
My cup of water always had water in it, right? So I never washed it. It was just like this generation cup. And it started building up like hard water line.
You know when you get a margarita and they like dip the rim of the cup in salt? That's like, is that what the rim starts to look like after a while?
But it really got me thinking about, you know, where a clean cup ends and a dirty cup begins.
There's got to be some fluoride concentration that makes it dirty officially.
This area right here usually gets filled with drinks, and I have to clean it every week before the podcast because it gets about this tall.
The podcast is keeping Kevin's together.
It's like running into like your past lives. It's like you're like a reincarnated bug, and then you like realize that you were actually a person before because you see all the other cups that were
left behind. The remnants. You're like, who broke into my house and made a mess?
I always have two, and then it's when I show up with the third is when I go, how did this happen? And then I take the other ones
like,
back.
What have I done?
But what's your limit? What's your 30, 40?
I say four.
Oh,
I say
40,
four. Once
40.
Once I'm like on the fourth cup, yeah, I'm like, oh my god, something's
Alan, how many cups
wrong.
Do you have?
Eight.
roughly four cups.
Yeah, once I'm 50% through all of my cups, that's when the trouble starts.
When I go to get a new cup and there's no new cups, that's when I know that I need to get rid of the old cups.
I'll tell you what, I still haven't found my limit, but I found my girlfriend's limit.
What's hers?
Probably about six or seven. She'll just come in my office and start like as many. She can probably fit about three cups in each hand.
Oh, so that's why it's like the limit. The amount that she can take away with her, with like the pincer maneuver.
Michael used to drive me nuts when we lived in the same house together, because I would go to Costco and I'd get the mega packs of soda water, the Kirkland brand soda water, and he because he was drinking like way too much sugary stuff, and I was trying to like try to push him to Kevin. Why is yours not recording?
Oh.
It says refresh the page.
Oh, he's gone. We've lost him.
Oh, there it goes. Okay. What was I saying?
Michael.
Oh, yeah. I'd get two pallets. So I think there's like 36 or like four. There's a ton of soda waters on these pallets. And I get two of them. And Michael would just, the instant he stopped, I think he was drinking Monster. And I like convinced him to drink less Monster. And he didn't like soda water. He was like, you know, adamantly against it. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was just like nonstop soda water drinking. And I remember walking into his office, and there was a tower of soda water.
I remember
water
that.
Cans
he had it in a video, I think.
Yeah, I remember there was one video where it was the car video where we drove the cars. Did you ever see when we tried to drive the cars across the lake?
Oh, yeah, like the RC cars?
Yeah, and I remember that I said I was trying to get him to go to the park, and I was like filming in his office. I came in his office, and he's like, okay, only if you don't show any of this in the video. That was the agreement, was to not use the footage. I think it was a little worse. I think there was like some car, like some fast food trash on the ground too. It wasn't that bad. He wasn't dirty at all, but the pile of soda cans was extremely large.
That's impressive. It's just impressive.
Yeah. The fact that it was like so bad that it was like blackmailable is like that's something.
Damn it. I need to.
Are you spilling on yourself again?
I have a drinking problem.
Is this also like a life hack, or is this just you not being able to hold a drink properly?
I think that I'm just a mess. Anyways, how was the Canada?
The Canada.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Nigel, have you talked about Canada yet on the...
No. I've been leaving you to...
I really wanted to go to Canada, and my plan was to bring our... a remote podcast setup that we built out with the new cameras and stuff. And then I couldn't because I had to finish that video last minute.
We almost tried to film an actual safety third, but like just minus you, because halfway through we're like, oh, Will's not going to be able to come.
No.
And we had like a mind to actually like do an entire safety third and just like present Ian Doki with like this footage that he doesn't ask for. It's just like, it was going to be me and Nigel and Jake and James.
Yeah.
That was the plan in our heads. And then when we showed up there, we immediately realized that would be impossible. It would be completely 100% impossible to film with all of us there. So we just didn't.
I also forgot all of the audio.
It's hard. Like, I mean,
I was like, oh, we'll just use James's. And we showed up to the Hacks's place and we're like, oh, wait, no, we're not going to do anything here.
I for a while have been thinking about building this like remote podcast setup. So, you know, I don't know. People underestimate the amount of work that goes into making anything, even like a stupid podcast like this. Is
stupid.
Is
like,
okay, are we lying now? An excellent podcast like this. We did the math last episode about how much of people's lives we waste with this crap.
God, I hope it's a small amount.
it's about 1%. It's about 0.6% of their week.
Oh, that's not bad.
Of our week, too. Worse. I think that's what we were doing.
Oh, yeah. We could do 3-hour podcasts and get over a full percent.
I mean, if you multiply it, though, by like 100,000 people or however many, like a...
You think 100,000 people watch this?
I mean, that's some of them, right?
Some of them,
Like, you're doing 0.6%, but over 100,000 people. That
just
adds
check
up
the
more
analytics
than us wasting our time.
Just check the analytics. See how many hours are collectively wasted every 20
minutes. Like, total man hours. Like, at what point... Like, when could we have sent a man to the moon instead of doing the podcast?
Is that your guess? Okay, I can. What we do in the past 28 days?
Well, how many views did the channel get?
I'm going to say a quarter million.
I don't know. I'm not even looking.
Wait, I'm going to see how many man hours to get to the moon.
I'd say 52,000.
I'd say 250,000.
Okay. When I get an answer, I will share it. But I guess what I was getting at is that setting up all this equipment and doing it is like way more work than you think. Even running a couple of cables to the microphones and getting stuff set up and testing, like it's actually kind of confusing how much effort it is. I mean, you guys remember in Japan, we were trying to set up in the Airbnb and it's like dragging things around and rearranging and trying to figure out the lighting and stuff like that.
I think it's similar for any, like if you don't have a setup that's already in place and like you guys all do this, if there's just something you want to film, and you're like Kevin does this a lot. You need three angles. There's a high speed camera. There's a GoPro.
Oh yeah.
It's like 45 minutes, and then all you did was just drop something. And you're like, okay,
I know,
that was,
man.
Like...
It drives me crazy.
Like, it's just so much time just to set everything up. Yeah.
I always used to think it was weird that people would buy like a camera specifically for something, and they would like lock it down and never
move it.
Yeah, because I do it like this camera here is like that now. I showed you guys what I did. I bought these like microphone arms that are heftier, and so I can hide it behind the monitor and stuff. But it's like a huge pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Like if I have to set the green screen up in the garage, it's a huge pain in the ass.
It takes so like just, a few minutes. It's just, it's always, yeah, like, it just adds up.
But I've been thinking about building a podcast box that has like the XLR cables. I bought extension cords, like the reels, the retractable ones, because they have three terminals, right? You've got ground, neutral, hot. And I took an XLR cable and I like pulled the extension cord out, stuck an XLR cable in there, and it works totally fine.
Oh yeah, so you just use the connector?
Yeah. So I was, well, no, not a plug. It's actually, I switched everything to XLR, but yeah. I was thinking of making a box that you can put everything in a Pelican case and it's like mounted permanently in the Pelican case.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You extend out the cables to the mics, and then inside of the case are all the electronics and everything that, you know, because there's like,
oh, so you're talking about using those like retractors for the extension cords. Yeah.
Yes. So having XLR cables come out. So you like open the box and like sitting on this like top panel are these like retractable XLR cables that XLR that you like pull out. And then you put them to where you need to go. And so it's like trying to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, that would be awesome, Brian.
It would take two Pelican cases, two big suitcase-sized Pelican cases to do this whole podcast. And that would be like as compact as possible.
Because you could have, like, you'd have a TV screen on the top of the Pelican case that folds out. The mixer down below with all the XLR cables. And then like all the mics and stuff in the other, yeah, in the other one.
And yep, the stands.
Exactly. So you'd have to have mics and cameras in the second Pelican case. Yeah, and tripods and stuff like that. And then all the recording stuff in the other one. So, you know, it's still then like, you know, we go to Canada and it's like one, like you have to have two bags and you have to either, you have to check them, which sucks. I mean, you know what happens when you check bags on airplanes is.
Well, that's what the guns are for. That's supposed right. to, that's like supposed to be like a hack that photographers use, is because if there's a firearm in your check-in, they have to treat it a lot better than if it was a normal bag. They can't just throw it around. It goes through like an entirely separate process
because of the implications.
So it's like,
I feel like this is a good short.
Oh, of like yeah, doing it, like trying it. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, because it's like, I think what the way, like, yeah, I mean, here's a day in the life of someone in jail.
I was like, there's a gun in my bag.
I haven't done this before for like making sure like a video equipment gets treated nice, but I have done it when I was visiting my family in Illinois and I still had a video to do and I had to bring a dummy launcher with me for some of the footage. So it's like, it's a device for training hunting dogs and it just looks like a big gun, but it uses a 22 caliber blank to like shoot a dummy. And yeah, so it's like the dogs learn to associate the sound of gunfire with like a duck falling out of the sky. And it's like, it's not technically a gun, but I think you still have to like treat it like it because it uses like blanks.
Yeah.
What was the rule? It was over barrel is fine. So if your
over the
projectile
barrel
is over the barrel, it's not a gun?
Yeah, because the dummy launcher has like a vent hole that goes out diagonally. So it's impossible to stick any kind of ammunition or projectile.
But it still
in there.
Shoots something forward.
Yes, but it's over the barrel.
Right.
It's fine. Yeah.
But what does that mean? You know, what do you mean over the barrel?
I don't care. I just.
It's like, you know, instead of putting a thing in the barrel, the thing
slides
fits over the barrel.
Oh, okay, yeah. okay. I thought you meant literally like above the barrel.
The bullets like, on the outside.
Yeah, yeah. Outer bullets are okay. Inner bullets are not okay.
Like, then how? What? This makes no sense.
So what if you put a knife on the end of the dummy? Like,
then you could definitely like fuck someone up.
Alan, it could be like my arrow gun, where you slide the carbon fiber arrow.
Yeah,
over
the barrel.
And
that's
you
fine.
Shoot like a 1,000 FPS carbon fiber arrow.
It's through a 2x4. It goes right through a 2x4. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's okay.
It's not even, I mean, it might, because in Canada, it's not even classified as a firearm.
No,
and
yeah,
it's a lot stricter here.
I mean, that's like, I think, Slingshot Channel, what's his name? Jorge Sprave, Sprav or whatever.
You
like
got much closer than I could have.
Yeah. Jorge is, I don't know, but like he, that was like Germany's got really strict gun laws. And that's why like in almost all of his videos where he's like doing pneumatic stuff, it's all over the barrel. Cause they don't even let you do inside the barrel for pneumatics.
Yeah. You can buy these on Prime too.
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime. So. Wait, it does say that California
totally
disclaimer. Oh, that's just because it'll give you cancer.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that you can't buy here. Like you can't buy, or I don't know if it's laws or if it's just Amazon, but like you can't buy airsoft stuff on Amazon.
Well, here?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
didn't
mean,
know
I
that.
Think
no,
like
it's
I've
true.
tried.
It's...
I remember trying in the
yeah, because what I have like a soup super glue remover that I bought here before, and I needed it one time when I was at your place, and I tried to buy it, and they don't have it because it has like a chemical that's banned in California.
Too cancerous.
You can get super glue removers here though, just not the cancer one.
It'll cause cancer. They just didn't do the research yet.
Yeah, that's how you know it works good, because it gives you cancer.
You know what? What? Uh-oh. God, Kevin!
What?
You have the most expensive camera here.
What happened to it?
You're just black. You're just dark.
Okay.
I don't even know, man.
This is okay. I think this is okay. We were talking about like setting stuff up earlier. This is why having a dedicated camera is actually like not a bad idea, because Kevin uses this camera for his videos too, and like plugging it in, taking it off, replugging it in, especially with USB. Is it USB-C or what is it? Micro?
USB-C.
I don't know what it is then, because I feel like USB-C, especially on a name brand camera, should be pretty robust. But
what I like is just a straight HDMI out.
Is that what you're doing?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I'm doing that too.
Yeah.
Oh, it says like into a capture card. Is too high.
Oh, you're
how
you're,
hot is it in Florida right now?
Yeah.
What? I mean, Kevin sent a preview of one of the shots of his video, and it was like super like jarringly shaky.
What's weird is I didn't notice that.
You did or didn't?
Didn't.
Oh, you didn't? I don't know. My eyes are pretty
No,
fast
normally I'm
like that.
Really... even after I saw your comment, I looked at it and was like, I don't really know what he's talking about. I'll look at it again.
So it was recording at 120, right?
Yeah, and with the super high...
So Kevin was doing like, you know, YouTube, like the sort of like vlogger cam with that camera, and then setting it down to record.
It looks like a GoPro.
Left it in 120. Yeah, it's weirder though. Like there's something horrific about frame rates that fast. I don't know. What is the actual video file frame rate? Is it 60 that you sent?
Yeah. So it was like downsampled from 120 to 60, but I was shooting at like 1,000 frames or like 1,000th of a second shutter speed.
One time John set one of our cameras, we're doing an egg drop and we're filming up in the crow's nest up in the attic on the roof that we'd film in, and he left the camera in 120 frames a second, and it just looks so bad. It looks like, I don't know. There's something about having to set up all the equipment that makes you appreciate just buying a thing and like locking it down and never touching it. Like even changing the frame rate on a camera is such a bad idea. Like it's an easy thing to do, but so frequently there's like so many opportunities to totally mess it up.
Oh yeah,
where you just forget or you don't change it. Were you in 4K?
Yeah, I was.
So that's why I was overheating.
So here's, you know, let me show like you a good example of like why not to ever touch anything. This is my wireless microphone receiver. And if you have it on this side right here, it says out. That's like a low level out. And if you put it in the headphone, that's like a high level out. And then everything is like four times as loud, and everything peaks. Like the audio is destroyed if you plug it in the wrong hole.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to just fill that hole with super glue or something.
Yeah.
It makes me empathize
you
a little
tape
bit
it
more.
Put
with
cement
my dad.
In there.
So my dad used to work at the LA Times as a photographer, and I, you know, being kind of a kid who was trying to make videos and stuff, would use his camera because he had, when I started doing video stuff, a 5D Mark II, which was the first camera that did DSLR did video. And he would always get very mad at me because that was like his work camera, and I would go in there and I would like change stuff and yada, yada, yada. And I think I finally understand. Like, imagine going to work. You work for the LA Times. You work for like a major newspaper as a photographer, and you go to do a shoot, and you have no idea what the settings on your camera are because your kid was playing with it.
Well, that's on him for having a kid more than you.
I have thought about it, and I think he probably should have just bought me a camera at that point. They're like, you can get them pretty cheap.
So you said that was the first DSLR that did video?
Video, yeah.
Wow, I'm looking at an old article from 2008 about it.
It was they filmed an episode House. Of House, and it was one of the first times that people proved that you could use a DSLR to actually do real production. Up until then, everyone just used, you know, proper cinema stuff like
the DV tapes and stuff
standard industry stuff.
I
remember
it have like the time limit that you can like record video on it.
I think it was at like maybe 12 minutes. But if you're doing like shots for a show, you're only doing like what, a minute, 30 seconds at a time?
I guess. I don't still remember. Seems kinda,
I don't
know
think
about,
there was a time limit.
The 5D, like I think there might be a 30 minute.
Yeah, that's a good
No, that's everything though. Or, I think we've talked about
or maybe
that,
right? There isn't.
So that camera would have cost almost $5,000 today.
The 5D Mark II?
Yeah. And I got it. I was super happy to get it. It was one of my first, it was my first real DSLR. And I got it because it was, the woman dropped it and it broke the, like, the lens mounting ring. But instead of being like $3,000, I think she sold to me for like $900.
Nice.
Just because of that. I said to be careful that my lens didn't just fall off the camera though.
Yeah.
Which it did a few times, but you know.
Nice.
It's 29 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember there being a time limit, but I think we did talk about that with Bernard at some point with Chubby Emu. Yeah, I think it's an import tax.
It is. So if you have the limit, it's not a video camera, but if you take the limit away, you get taxed on it being like a primary video camera. So they just save money by putting the limit on.
The damn government.
I used to have that problem with an old camera. Like, I'd set it up somewhere far away, hit record, try to like run back to the other side of my yard, get ready, do everything, run back, and it stopped recording, and I missed the shot or whatever.
Oh, amazing.
I know.
What was the time limit?
I think that...
Five?
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes on small
They're really
cameras.
Avoiding the tax there. Oh, they were God. Really avoiding yeah. it.
A super discount. Yeah. They felt bad for the customer buying such a shitty camera. They subsidized it. I just, like, the sort of more I don't know. How long has YouTube been going on for? I mean, Alan, Kevin, you're the longest, and then Nigel and Alan, I think, maybe around the same time, and I'm kind of like...
The new kid.
The new kid on the block. I just really think that a lot of the technical stuff like that, like having your camera stop recording, that is some of the most migraine-inducing, miserable part of trying to make videos is just dealing with the technical stuff.
Builds character. It'll put hair on your balls.
My rule is you can only, if you want to live a happy, a less sad life, you should, if you have a technical problem, you have to do everything you can so that it never happens again. So
yeah,
usually
but
it only happens to me once.
But what about like the technical problem that you have to deal with every time, right? Like even like setting GoPros up.
Mm-hmm. I don't use GoPros. That's how I avoid that problem.
Well, you don't make dog
you
shit
seen
videos like the rest
Nigel's,
of us.
Hasn't Nigel told you about his whole laser setup?
No.
He has like 14 lasers
Alan,
in his office
Alan, you
to make sure all of his
laser.
Cameras are old. No, but it is technically 14 because each of them has two, even if you don't use the perpendicular
Alan's severely
one.
Exaggerating.
Wait, are you
okay,
using
but,
lasers
but
to,
is
like,
it true? Is
frame?
It true? Are there 14 lasers in your office or not? In your lab
the way
or not,
it sound, yeah,
no. Yes or no? Are there 14 lasers?
I'm on Alki Mountain right now.
No. There are 12. I would say there
how
are
how many lasers?
There are 12 individual lasers, but 6 actual like laser levels.
Now I know what it's like to be the audience listening to this. I have no idea what these lasers are for.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
what we do with them. Like, there's no context.
I kind of just turn them on and get some sick music going.
Are
they
so you like have a consistent angle?
When you're saying
thought?
when Nigel says that he like only encounters a technical issue once, he absolutely fucking means it. He has 12 a dozen lasers in his lab that he uses to make sure that his shots are perfectly parallel. The camera, the petri dish. I mean, yeah.
So
thank you
for hyping me up. Thank Alan. Thank you for the introduction. So one of the
it's like a real corporate Zoom call going on right now. Thank you for that intro, yeah. Alan. Yeah,
Thank you, Alan. I'll take it from here.
Let's talk about Q4, gentlemen.
One of the most annoying things that I had just setting up the shot for me was like everything that I do has to, I mean, just the aesthetic that I've built is things kind of have to be centered. They have to look pretty symmetrical on screen. Yeah, like dead on. And the problem is it's really hard to tell, especially on like a small screen, if you're looking at the item on an angle or your camera's tilted. It's really hard to tell. And I would spend way too long, like just looking at the screen. I even got an external monitor and you still can't tell. Cause then you'd watch it later on and it would just be annoying. Like it wouldn't be the shot that I wanted. But then yes, I found out that there's a way that you can just bolt a laser level to the wall. And then what took like even let's say 4 minutes to do or 3 minutes of doing stuff, it goes to like 5-10 seconds. So it saved me a lot of time. Sorry?
The camera has that tool in the camera.
No, but you can't make
physically positioning.
Yeah,
it, right?
So if you have like something that's, let's say a box, I have like this thing here. It doesn't matter when it's small, but when it's big, it becomes really obvious that you're looking at it from an angle. So if I want like a dead on shot, you'd have to be like, it was just would be very frustrating.
What about just putting tape on the ground where you put the tripod legs?
I have to move everything around, and like the camera, everything just gets moved constantly because I'm looking at it from like different angles.
No, I get it because I am kind of the same way of, you know, the instant you start making, like taking shortcuts.
Like using the perspective or like, the rotate tool and Premiere?
I would do that when I, but when it's too, but the whole point is the laser gets it close enough that if it annoys me, I can do that. Whereas there have been sometimes where it's like, I think it's great. I look at it later and I'm like, this is actually so off. And I took 15 minutes to do this. This is so sad. Yeah.
We've been taking all the pictures for Cat Warehouse clothes in my garage, and we hung, so like I hung some like ceiling storage up. That's just like some racks that hang from the ceiling. And between the two ones that I hung, I stuck a piece of a 1x2 wood that I had laying around, and we stuck a roll of white paper on that. And so like it's very like temporary, right? Because this is, I feel like, you know, exactly where this is going is setting stuff up and then making it permanent so you don't have to do the same stupid thing over and over again. And we figured out like the best lighting conditions was to use a flash on a reflector. The reflector is a giant piece of styrofoam left over from when I insulated the garage door. And I shove it up on top of the Moldorama machine, like wedge it in between the Moldorama machine and the drill press. And then I have my C-stand that I stick like my 800 yen flash from Japan on.
Yeah.
And then I have the remote flash trigger that was from one of Michael's old videos where like the camera makes everyone shorter. So I took that apart and used the flash trigger. And then we have the white background next to it. So it's like, you know, it's like, it's horrible and I haven't fixed it. And that's just every time we go to take pictures of stuff, I have to drag all this stuff out, drag a giant piece of foam out, shove it on top of this Moldorama machine. Like it's a really, really like, not nightmare, but like it's inconvenient enough to keep you from doing it.
Yeah.
That was like for me, which I find it's, yeah, it's just setting up the shot, knowing. For example, I was like, all I need to do, let's say, is like pour liquid A, then B in a beaker, mix it around, and then I'm done. That's the entire shot. But I know it's going to take me just as long to kind of like set the camera up and make sure it's like on the angle that I want, that I'm sometimes like, I'll do it later. I can film that as B-roll. Or I procrastinate it because I just know there's this annoying part. But having the laser makes it so it's just brain dead. You just turn it on and you line it up and that's it.
How do you white balance your shots?
I have a white balancer, like little thing.
Card?
Yeah.
Do you do it in camera or on the computer?
I do it in camera.
So on the camera I have, the 90D, I have my gray card. I have to hold it in front of the camera and I don't even know where I'm supposed to put it. Like, I don't know how big it needs to be. I don't know if the camera has to be close to it.
I don't know. I've never looked it up.
Exactly. It's like, I don't know how it works. I take a picture. And then you have to go into the menu and you have to find the correct menu and say custom white balance. And you select that picture and then you have to set the camera to custom white balance. So it's like there's no way to make that. You know, the only way to make that process more efficient is to buy one of the cinema cameras.
I mean, at least the GH5, it's a better system than what you're saying. Like if you go to the white balance menu, you just click capture, a thing pops up, you hold the thing, you click set, and it just does it right away.
Yeah, but do you know that there are cameras that like the step above, like going from DSLR to movie cameras, that just have a button that says white balance? And it just wipe it. You just point it and it white balances.
Do you white balance, Alan?
No, Alan, and it embarrasses me to say that like, here.
I know. Alan goes, define white balance.
I am a big believer in just everything is just automatic, whatever was said on when it left the factory, and I just haven't touched any of that since.
What Alan's trying to say is that God plays a bigger role in his videos than Alan does.
Honestly, a lot of my videos are just Mother Nature.
I think white balancing, it really depends. It's just, you can almost don't need to do it. It just, it does save you time in post. like if you have two shots in the same on
assuming
like,
that
that's
I
supposed
would do
to be
it
in
post.
Your but if you have two shots that are supposed to be the same and you cut between them and one's more yellow than the other, it does look pretty horrible.
Yeah, I just let it be horrible. I'm like, you know what? This one's yellow and this one's not.
I white balance inside. Yeah. If I'm going to be spending a lot of time in a room, I white balance for that room. If I'm going to like, I think the last video, I run inside really quick to yell at Chelsea to come and look at the airbag. And it goes full, like, you know, sodium lamp yellow. I don't care. If you're going to be spending a lot of time, then it's going to be kind of a gross experience.
I should say something, too. When this whole office was put together, everything is rated at 4. I got everything specifically at 4,000 Kelvin lights. Hmm. So it's like I just white balance kind
warm.
Of like – it's neutral. That's what I'm in right now.
Hmm. I did that in my garage,
switch rooms
too.
And everything – it just, you don't need to change.
Yeah.
I have yellow lights behind me and white lights in front of me, and the windows over there open, but the one there
Alan
is not open.
I see some
blue on that side. I see some warm on the whiteboard.
Yeah, look, it's dynamic.
It
there's
is.
Blues.
You know what? I agree.
Yellows.
I agree with Alan. I like
yours. House isn't lights. Very good. Will's is the best.
You know, Alan's got halogen bulbs, though, right? So I think that's
Oh, these are LEDs. Helping. These are LED replacements for halogen.
So then they don't look as bad as I would think they would look. Because the house lights typically look really bad on camera. Mm-hmm. Have you ever talked about exactly what's going on with those lights and the experiment I did?
Oh, I think they're discontinued, maybe for a good reason, but I'm pretty sure they're based off of these like miniature track lights that you could find at IKEA. So it's like the lights are supposed to be fitted onto like a fun looking track
that is
12,
you put them on the
12 volts or something. So they're like, they're low voltage. And for whatever reason, the landlord of this building, instead of using the track lighting system, just ran wires down out of the ceiling that just come out of holes, and then
the legs, it's like steel legs, like little rods,
just coming down
right through the drywall,
and they're just screwed right into these little lamps that I'm pretty sure are supposed to be mounted in something, but instead they're just fucking freeballing, and that's how the lights are on in here. They're screwed in.
The metal rods that come through the drywall and the ceiling
wires.
Are conductors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, to be fair, that original track lighting system they're supposed to be a part of had the same, a similar setup. It was exposed.
But
it
if somebody went in the attic and dropped a screw and it like rolled and like went across, it would be shorting 12 volts.
12 volts.
A mouse.
Okay. Did you touch my pocket knife when I put my pocket knife across it?
Yes. It was extremely hot. I don't. What's your point?
I just thought it was cool. You got like a little resistive heater set up in your ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a 12-volt source, you just stick some alligator clips up there.
You're just
and you
like,
got
oh,
it.
My battery. I swear to God, you should do that.
Charge your battery
in a video for a bit. You just like get a chair, you like put alligator clips on it, and then it like turns the microprocessor on. I think it's AC though. I think you'd have to rectify it.
Yeah. I get like a capacitor and a diode and plug it into an Arduino, and that's how it's getting power. Yeah, I don't. They finally set up the demolition next door. There's a fence that's up now. So any day now, it's going to happen any day now. Well, Will helped me move into this new place. And on day one, what was it? You were talking to, like the neighbors and they mentioned, they was like, oh yeah, the house next door to yours is about to be demolished.
The neighbors were complaining because it looked like they were moving. And I found a little sign in front of the house because you have to publicly show it. And it said that there was a...
notice of demolition.
Or notice of demolition.
Yeah,
like
and it was like halfway under a bush, and then there was a trailer parked in the driveway, so you could never see it from where my house was. So I had no idea.
Yeah, and then the neighbors were, like, the people that were living there, for whatever reason, we were talking to them, and they were saying about how it was going to be demolished and yada, yada, yada. And can you imagine, you make YouTube videos.
I can imagine.
You're moving into a house, and the house right next to you is about to be demolished. Probably one of the worst combinations.
Yeah, the house, it's like roughly, it's a solid 20 feet away from where I sleep. And it's, we like, we talk to them and they want to just raise the entire structure, like demolish the entire thing and replace it with a two-story house. Because it's, right now it's a one-story house. So it's gonna be biblical when they start. It's gonna be like
so loud,
crazy.
Getting rid of it isn't gonna be that bad, but they're gonna be there for months building it back up.
Playing music. Have you ever like gone past a construction site like that? They're always blaring music.
So that any day now, but I mean, the lease started in January and it's November now. So I managed to go 11 months without any problems next door.
I have
God
a feeling,
bless Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah.
The permit took so long to actually like follow through on that I had an entire year.
Bureaucracy is bad, my ass. I love bureaucracy. You should file a report.
We were like, I think I was like looking into it like that whole month because I was so worried because that was like I was about to leave to do that TV show with Mark Rober, and I was like, well, I don't even know if I'm going to come back and if there's going to be a house next to this house, and it was like. Like there's the laws are so strict for land development here that they have like they have rules that are literally like weird Magic the Gathering cards where like they have effects that like you'll tap and they come into effect if you do something wrong, where it's like if you do any part of this process wrong,
there's a damage multiplier.
Yeah, like if you do anything wrong, not only will they make you like undo all the work you've done on that lot, they will also like specifically ban you or whatever entity did it for like the next 5 years for doing any development of any kind.
I mean, that's good incentive to not do bad things.
Yeah, you have to do it right. You have to
it's
do
like
it
a
right.
Scorched earth.
Yeah, it's like, oh, were you halfway done with this house? Well, now you're not.
Tear
and also this lot has to stay empty for the next 5 years.
Oh my God. You know that somebody did some pretty bad shit though for them to get that.
Well, yeah,
nasty
like cuz I mean it's off like theoretically it's all like once this starts it's actually going to be probably like unlivable in here, which is why it was like so like messed up that the landlord just like didn't mention that when I like signed the lease and moved in.
I would say
you know they're going to start at like 7 in the morning. They're going to go to like 5, 6 p.m. It's just going to be hammers.
So,
it's going to be nails and hammers.
So cool.
So here's the one thing I'll say is first of all, waking up at 7 a.m., maybe that's a blessing, Alan. Maybe that's a blessing.
No. I didn't take this job to wake up at 7 in the morning.
Nigel,
what
time do you wake up?
So I could wake up right before noon.
I wish I could wake up at 7 a.m.
What are you talking about then?
No, I'm joking.
What time do you wake up?
I actually, 9.
Put your money where your mouth
but
is.
But I actually, the apartment I moved into had construction. I said 9.
Oh,
but
nine.
Ideally, I want to get 9 up at like
9 p.m.
But it's just like, the apartment I moved.
Ideally, I want to get up at 8, but it'd be a blessing to get up at 7.
If I could get up at 7 and not hate myself, I would do it. But the apartment I moved into had construction that started at 6 a.m. for like 2 or 3 months. Like I never slept past 6 something. I had to wake up and like because I don't like earplugs, but I have to like jam the earplugs in my ears just to be able to deal with it. There should be jackhammers and like.
What size earplug? They sell really.
No, once
like,
the earplugs are in, it's fine. I just didn't feel like I didn't like putting it in. Like,
wait, you don't the act of put the half a second where it transitions from out of your ear to into your
that's
ear.
The
that's
best
the
part.
Thing that
you can feel it expanding.
No, I don't dislike it. I'm saying that I didn't feel like going to bed when it's just quiet. I was like, I'm not going to put in earplugs, and they often fall out when I'm sleeping. So then I would just even when I did that, I would just wake up at like 6 and there's just jackhammers going. And sometimes it'd be so loud and annoying. I'm like, what?
No, my earplugs fall. I when I was in college, I first started wearing earplugs when I would sleep because I had a roommate that would snore.
Yeah.
And then it sort of became this weird thing for a while where even after like I moved out, I still like had to put them in to go to sleep because it became part of like the weird like my body's ritual of like nighttime. It's like oh, it has to be dark and there has to be things in my ears, otherwise I can't sleep.
The I think I just because like Will, you've met
and my bed has to be soaked with piss.
Will, you've mentioned before.
Oh yeah, don't even get me
you
started
sleep with
on
like
the
a mask.
I need
right?
that.
I do. I sleep with a mask and earplugs.
I cannot wear a mask. And the reason why is I apparently take it off. I just pull it off. Like a couple hours after I fall asleep, I put the mask on, and often you wake up like you know 4 hours later or 5 hours later, whatever. I wake up for a second. It's never been on, and it's I would lose it. It's just gone. I like take it off, and I just throw it. No, like I think I actually take it off in my sleep and throw it off the bed.
I got a nicer one. I got like I don't even remember what it is, but I got a nicer one that has two straps, and it just fits a little bit better. Kind of, it's more like a respirator mask where it's like the one up top and one down below. And it stays on much better.
Yeah.
And it's softer too, so it's not as uncomfortable.
I'm sure there's a solution, but I pull it off
and
throw
it.
I
like to sort of just disappear when I go to bed.
My dogs like to eat mine.
The mask?
I only use it like if I wake up at 6 a.m. and I want to get another hour of sleep.
Or something, yeah.
Otherwise, I can't deal with it. Like, it'll start sliding around in my face.
Yeah. I don't mind
it. You guys are using shitty masks.
Well, I wake up and it's bright out and I want to go to bed, often I don't have a mask because I just never got into them. But if I have like a hat or something, I'll put it in.
I'll super glue my eyes.
No, if I have like a hat or something, I'll just like cover my eyes.
Yeah.
I don't take it off in the morning. Like even if it's 6 and I get up at like 9, I don't take it off. But if I go to bed with it, I just take the hat off and I throw it. I don't know.
I'll pull the blankets up over my head.
I do that too.
10 minutes later because I can't breathe.
Because it smells like farts.
I need it loud.
You know what I want to try? I want to try like a two-part mold of my own head that like bolts shut. And you just put that over your head.
And it blocks your ears and everything.
Yeah, it's like 6 inches thick and it's just like foam and urethane. And it just like blocks out everything.
Alan, you'll probably wake up and think you're dead. You're like completely sensory deprived. You're like,
experiment succeeded.
You'll just wake up and have no senses.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
It worked.
It worked. Finally.
I've been wanting to for years get a mattress and try to like run coolant lines through it.
I want that for a pillow.
My mattress has a bunch of, it's a foam mattress and it has
water
a bunch of like quarter inch holes that go to the bottom. So I thought the same thing. You could turn it into like an air hockey table.
Cool it.
What I said is I want it to be actually refrigerated. So you have a little compressor going.
Yeah.
You turn it on. It's like, it sounds like the fridge is kicking on. And it's like cooling.
I think the problem with trying to cool the mattress though is there a way to pump water where you don't feel the pump in the fluid? Because like you would feel the pump.
I don't think so.
No.
I want one in a pillow too.
Maybe like,
like a peristaltic pump or something?
Peristaltic?
Yeah, or a...
I think it's peristaltic.
I want to see it pump.
Because it's like it's like a tube that just gets squeezed by a roller, right?
Yeah.
So it's like maybe theoretically gentler.
I think an impeller pump would be the gentler.
That one, you would still potentially feel the motor. I think, I don't know. I feel like peristaltic might be the best.
What if it was what if you had like a water tower outside the room and then you like gravity bring it in and then you had to pump outside your room?
I think that's a good idea. That's a capacitor. You're buffering your booster that's got a vibration, a resonance to it.
Yeah, maybe it's a water tank on your roof and it fills up during the day and so then at night it's the entire water and there's no moving parts.
It just soaks your bed with water.
What if you just slept in a bathtub and had the shower running?
In the toaster. Yeah. Toasting.
I mean, I sleep really hot.
I do too.
I am always very, very, very hot in bed.
You can say that again.
No, I think Kevin...
It's like...
Sorry, no, continue.
Well, it's like, because it's like, what is the meme? Is like, people are like, oh, like may that man like sleep on both his sides of his pillow as cold or however it goes. Like, I don't know. You think, has anyone invented like your drink cooler, a Peltier cooled like pillow?
I want that for
the hot side and a cold side.
I want that for the pillow, the bed, and the cover. So you have a full, you go to bed and you can set like 21.5 degrees C, and that's it. That's what you have.
There are
that's actually really cool.
Contraptions that blow air under the cover. So like there's one that I don't think it was very successful. I mean, all this stuff is like a gimmick because it's going to be atrocious expensive
and
for the market. And not work that well. But it was like a vent that would kind of sit on the foot of the bed. Like it would like hook on to the edge. Oh my God, Kevin's.
Oh, he's back. He's here.
Why is he? Because it says recording failed under your name.
Oh, and he's gone.
Why do you think it's me? Because it literally is you.
What? Why is your shit so broken?
You know, if this happened all the time.
Kevin, do you have an HDMI out?
I might have an answer for you.
You definitely have an HDMI out, right? So just get.
Where's your video feed coming from?
This is your camera.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's
the
problem.
Is it HDMI or USB?
Nigel has my camera.
Yeah, stole
that's
it.
Nigel, give him his camera.
I was like, how do you open it, this thing?
Are you doing USB or HDMI?
HDMI.
You are doing HDMI.
Oh, I thought you were going USB.
No, I'm Wi-Fi streaming it.
Wait, what?
I'm not. Well, it's HDMI. I just wanted to see Will have a little stroke right there.
And to a capture card?
I'm always that's my secret. I'm always having a stroke.
If it's to a I don't really have an answer for you then.
Well, either
Maybe
way, it works
like
now.
Maybe it's like a loose HDMI. Let me kick my computer a little bit.
That's my wife. So just don't kick the computer. It
turns off.
Yes. Gone. He's kicking. He's kicking. Nope. It's fine.
Anyways, the invention was this thing that would blow air under the covers.
So
it's like a
on the,
Dutch
from
oven
the
machine.
Foot up?
Yeah.
So it'll be blowing air like up your butt?
Yes.
Yeah, up your butt, into your toes, between your toes and then into your butt.
Right. Yes, Alan.
That doesn't sound that nice. The way you're
no.
I don't think I'd want that.
That sounds great.
I think the good news is, though, is that videos about sleep tend to do well, or so I've heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because what do you think people are Googling in the middle of the night when they can't sleep? Oh, yeah.
So you're saying that we all have to come up with sleep-related videos?
I feel like this is going to be easiest for Nigel. Yeah.
I can come up with a lot of things that are sleep-related.
Oh, wait. Do you have a Nile Blue video yet?
I do.
Hey,
you can't say that.
Or sorry,
no,
okay.
No,
my
bleep
God!
That. Just
doesn't
bleep that.
Matter.
Just joking. Yeah, it's done.
Is
it's
it
done
up?
For like
is
2 weeks? No, it's going to go up very shortly.
Humble brag.
No, the reason actually why it's delayed is because I finished it on like let's say a Thursday, and I was like, with Alan, you kind of know this because I was like, I finished it, and I was like. I should probably have an ad sponsorship for this.
So yeah, then I'm like,
as a joke, I'm like, hey, Tara, can you have one, let's say, like, for tomorrow? And she's like, well, no.
We were in Canada, and I do a weekly meeting with Concurrent, and it was like me and Audrey were just in one of James's offices, and then Nigel came in. He was like, you can have a weekly meeting? And like, yeah, because we're trying to make videos.
No, because Alan's like, because I make videos. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And then Nigel proceeds to hijack my Concurrent meeting to try and get a sponsorship for his Nile
Blue. To be fair, Alan,
this channel is more important than
Alan,
yours.
To be fair, I said, oh, anyway, like, have a good meeting. And Alan's like, no, you can talk.
You're right. I invited you into it. I brought it upon myself.
You guys try to make videos?
Yeah. No, it's just funny. I'm like, no way, you have weekly meetings? And they're just like, yeah, because Alan's actually making videos. But you haven't posted anything in 8 months. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Weekly meetings wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like, when was the last time you'd even talked to anyone before that?
Anything. It's like, yeah, that's a good point.
The only update I have is how long it's been since I posted this video.
Actually, the only update would be occasionally David messages me and goes, so are you making videos again? And I'm like, no. He's like, okay. Just like this.
See in 5 months.
At least you respond.
Like, that's the weekly meeting. Are you still doing nothing? Yep. Okay. Yeah. Let me know when that changes.
Yeah. You know, if we worked real jobs, I'm pretty sure this behavior would have gotten us all fired long ago.
I'm ignoring my boss David right now for the time being.
wait, Kevin, do you have a video that's been done for 2 weeks like Nigel? Are you also a good
it's
boy?
It's basically done.
Alan,
I mean, like it's an editing purgatory right now.
I want to say it's not being good.
It's like 10%
I just finished it and I was gonna post it, but then I realized it's stupid to not get a sponsorship.
Have you considered Raid Shadow Legend?
I was like, you know what? I probably should get a sponsorship.
Have you thought about Bang Energy or
wait,
Fat
Kevin,
Sal's? We're making sandwiches over here.
Last week I said last weekend. This week I'm saying this weekend.
But what is the reality?
Next week.
Kevin's like, who knows?
You guys want to like have a betting pool?
Sure.
I just want to see the video.
I want to do one about Nigel's videos. We'll do one about your videos, too.
Okay, well, first, I don't know. I think Nigel
says he's going to make 4 videos
guaranteed.
This year.
I was going to say per year.
There's 7 weeks left in this year.
Oh yeah, that's not much time actually. Now that I think about it,
it's really impressive, Nigel. Teach me the way.
No,
show me how to sit for three quarters of the year, and then get all your videos out in the last quarter.
I mean, see, it's a very simple trick.
Now I know why you had that drink cooler, because you just sit on your ass all day doing nothing.
It's a very simple trick, and I'll teach it to you when you're ready.
In one easy step.
Nigel is simultaneously the world's busiest man and the least productive worker at the same time.
It's all in his
head,
100%.
Honestly, it's true. No, like, I do a lot of the problem is I spent the last, like, many months just filming stuff because I was like, I just don't feel like editing. So I just kept filming. But there are many times where it's like, in the moment, I'm like, man, I am so busy that I hate this. And it'll go on for a while. Mm-hmm. Then it ends. And I go, what did I do for the last 3 months? Yeah. Like, I was like, man, like, I don't even remember what I did. How was I busy?
That's what I do when it's time to start filming.
Are the carbon monoxide detectors in your office working?
I don't know. I mean, they never go off, so.
There's also no batteries in them, so it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Kevin, wait, so how, like your editing process, like the purgatory, how long do you think that usually takes? I feel like for me, I always think that I know what I'm doing, and then about 2 months later, I have a video.
Yeah. I started working on this video like 2 months ago, probably when we got back from Japan, which was like when, August?
Yeah, I guess. End of August. Jesus.
No, August.
Ugh. So that's like,
not Jesus.
I don't know. I started working on it and then I filmed it. And right now I'm kind of like going back and looking at the footage and realizing that, wow, I didn't film as much as I thought I should have.
In what way? You're just
like you know, the transition between like, I don't know, like how to make it flow good from one thing to another. It's like, I should have said this there because that would have easily like made the next part easy to introduce or something.
That's what narration's for.
Yeah, voiceover.
And then I have like, so I filmed over like 2 or 3 days and it just doesn't match up. Like the time of day doesn't match up for like when things should happen in order. But because it was cloudy one day and then sunny the other day, it would be like, it doesn't make sense.
I think that's fine. Days.
Yeah.
Have it be yellow in one shot and white in another. I think it's fine.
Just blame the white balance. Yeah. Just say the auto white balance. Yeah.
But wait, what's the problem? You can just say they're different days, no?
Well, okay, so I had 6 rockets and 4 of them worked and then the last 2 didn't work. And I just kind of introduced those last 2 rockets like, oh, this is the last 2 rockets. Let's do it. That one didn't work. Number 5 didn't work. Then I'm like, okay, this is the very last one. I hope it works. And then it didn't work. And then like the day before, they were working and like, I don't, you know, so.
Yeah, I think this is something that I've been thinking about recently of you are your own worst enemy working with your own footage. Like there's something about having too much information about what you've done where you're trying to like tell a story a little bit too literally. Whereas, you know, working with somebody who, I don't want to say just working with an editor because it's hard to find a good editor.
I'll tell you a secret after.
I don't. Not any of Nigel's advice won't apply to any of us. You are a like freak of nature.
No. It's actually a legitimate tip.
Okay. All I was gonna say is it's sometimes good to have an outside perspective. It's hard to find that person.
All my tip was is that if you film a video and then post it 1 year later, that's when you start editing it. Just listen. Will does it all the time. So if you film something and then look at the footage a year later, you forget 95% of it. So you are
so
like
it becomes
the
strangest.
Yeah, you are like
I take back my mud cleaning. Right? That's actually a big brain.
You are like the external.
I'm sorry for
view.
Jumping so quickly.
What if we all just traded videos? What if we all just gave each other our footage in a circle and then we all had
talked
to
about
edit
this.
Each other?
That would actually circle jerk.
Yeah. It's like a circle with 4 jerks in it. Or a circle jerk, if you will.
The jerk circle.
Yeah, a jerk circle.
I think it would be interesting to have somebody else edit your stuff. Like it,
I want to get my hands on a Nile Red video. I want to narrate a Nile Red video.
The video will make...
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on here.
It will make zero sense. Like, actually zero sense.
Come on, that would be a great, like, April Fool's video or something. Come on, give me one of your videos, Nigel.
It's like me narrating. I'll
do zero
electronic
research.
Stuff. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on in this frame. Imagine if I made your snake legs and you never
Alan's
told me about
video.
It. I would just be confused.
How do you think we make our videos, Nigel?
You're right.
let's go to Patreon. Thank you guys, everybody who supports the podcast. The greatest hour of your week if you don't pay us, and if you do pay us, you get more than an hour. I think it might even be a full percent of your week if you if you support us on Patreon.
Wow. Great value there.
I wouldn't take it that far, but four. We got two tiers. What are the tiers again?
What's
the small
no
one? Whatever. One of them. Both get you access to our Discord where we answer your questions. Kevin, want to pick a good question that we can use to tease people?
Yeah, let me get one.
And then the bigger tier, you get a Polaroid from us every 3 months. And you get lots of extra content. And
they,
by lots
they
of
see
extra
how many
content, I mean some extra
belly
content.
Button.
What was the question?
They want to see how many Skittles we can fit in our belly button.
Yeah, that's not a question.
That's a fetish. Yeah.
I'm not putting that footage on the internet.
Hold on. Do I have anything that's the size of Skittles? I have some AA batteries.
No, God, I don't want to see
this. I have
a little battery. All I have is golf balls. Thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. Here's the list. Everybody, point at somebody. Look how good and attractive this person right here is. I'm following the name up, probably at the wrong speed.
I don't know if there's enough names. I'm just doing a gun motion.
I think they're everywhere. I figured that we'd start putting the names at the end because we should give credit to the people that, pay. I feel like we should pay them money.
Some sort of reverse Patreon.